Well, over the past few weeks, the plight of Australian ISIS wives has been a prominent media story. These women, left behind often with small children when ISIS fled, are living in difficult conditions in makeshift camps and suffering violence at the hands of more militant women who still support ISIS. Are they a threat to society or victims, Australian citizens who should be allowed back? Security analyst David Olney told The Wire's Henry Wilson that the media reports aren't giving us the real picture and we're only seeing the two extremes.
The minority who are cold-blooded, committed and want to continue the ISIS mission, and a minority who truly didn't understand where they ended up, are unable to cope and are desperate to get back, and then a majority who probably fit somewhere in the middle. But in the main, the majority in the middle are not compelling, so we get shown the extremes. One extreme being, why would we want these people back? The other extreme being, couldn't we find it in our hearts and political will to bring these people back?
Can you explain the overall management of these camps? Who's in charge and what do they want to see happen next?
A variety of camps across the region that have the remains of ISIS fighters, predominantly now people who've got nowhere else to go because their country doesn't want them back. In the main, international bodies try to have as much positive influence in the camps as they can, but these camps also exist in countries that don't necessarily want these people loose and certainly don't want them loose in their population. So it's a strange combination of, you know, there's an underlying desire to do what's humanitarian, but also a need for fairly serious security. And an undertone of no one really wants these people.
How unruly is the situation?
If anything, the situation probably looks unruly because of a lack of resources being put there to resolve the situation. It's no one's number one priority because no one really wants to have to deal with these people. And if you were to put enough resources in and start processing them, then you'd have to start taking people back to their original countries or deciding what else can be done with them. And as no one really wants to address those endpoint decisions of what to do with them, there's not enough resources, so these camps look terrible, don't run as well as they could. You know, have a look of sort of deprivation and desperation about them, which is a consequence of no one really wants to take responsibility. You know, not the local authorities, not the international community, and certainly not countries trying to work out whether they want these people back.
What official involvement does Australia have? Do you think they will bow to the pressure to let these Australian women back?
I doubt we will let very many of them back because in the post 9/11 world, we've spent so much time scaring ourselves into thinking that, you know, everyone who is radical wants to be radical their whole life and wants to be dangerous their whole life. And I'm not sure we know how to get past that. And I'm not sure we know how to tell how radical someone still is. And I'm not sure we know how to de-radicalise people to make sure it's safe for them to be in our community. So I think the biggest thing that may make us change our mind is if there's small children who are, of course, innocent.
David Olney, he's a senior analyst at Sage International. Ending that report from The Wire's Henry.